All right. Good morning to everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? I hope you come here this morning, and I hope you come here this morning to worship and learn and to praise God this morning. All the things that God gives us the opportunity to do, I'm here to tell you this morning, you have that opportunity today. No one can take that from you. If God is dealing with you this morning with anything, you know what? God's telling you to get up out of there and do it, right? Amen. I'm going to be over in Judges this morning, the sixth chapter, if you want to turn it and get ready. I'll read here in just a little bit. I'll get down to the verse and stuff. Have you ever been in a classroom setting? Have you ever been in a classroom setting and maybe a Bible study? Or maybe a little question and session place, a little question session to answer? And have you ever heard all kind of questions being asked? I mean, all of us have been in that, probably that kind of study. I know in Bible study here on Wednesday night, people will ask questions sometimes, all kind of questions. And have you ever anyone asked a question that maybe was redundant, maybe? Maybe that question was redundant. Or maybe, you know, the question was totally had nothing to do with the topic that you were studying. Or maybe you weren't even talking about what you even discussed in that day. But then someone will ask a question, and you'll think to yourself that it'll be so pertinent, so to the point that you're thinking to yourself, now that's a great question. Have you ever been in a situation like that? I've been there. I've been there lots of times. I've been there where, you know what, I've been in meetings at work, and they'll be talking about something, and someone will come up with a question, and that question you'll think, man, that's an awesome question. Starting this morning, I want to look at that this morning. I want to look at some questions that are in the Bible that are asked by Jesus and other people in the Bible that are so pertinent to what we do, so pertinent to how we have salvation, so pertinent to how we live our Christian lives. And maybe you've asked these questions as well, and maybe you've read these. These questions are, you know, not only in us living the life that Christ wants us to live, but I want to ask you here this morning, and this is the most important question this morning, and I'll get to that somewhere down the road, but you know what? Are you saved, and do you know how to be saved? That's the most important question. I don't know, but by looking at what I looked at down through the week in this, there's over 20 different questions that were asked in the Bible. Maybe more, but I know of 20. And I ask you and I encourage you, if I don't get to all of them down through the upcoming weeks, I want you to dig into your Bible and to look at the questions that were asked. I want to ask you the same question today. As I start, I want you to go to Judges 6:13. Judges 6:13. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, then why then is all this befallen us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of Midianites? What I want to focus on this morning is, where are all the miracles? I want you to think about that this morning. Let us pray. Father, as we come, Lord, this morning, Father, we come nothing with nothing but thanksgiving in our hearts, Lord, this morning for you. We want to praise you for your word, for what you've given us, Lord, for how you've blessed us. And Lord, you know what? With all that we have before us this morning, Lord, we ask you this morning, just like Gideon did, Lord. You know, maybe that's here this morning. Where are all the miracles, Lord? Where are they? And Father, we ask this morning, Lord, knowing full well you have the answers for us, Lord, and knowing full well, Lord, that Father, we can believe what your word says, and we will do that this morning. In Jesus' name we ask, and amen. I like what Mike's song said. I didn't know Mike was going to sing that. I was going to have Stephanie sing another song, a song today, but she could not find her tape and some different things, but it wasn't meant to be. Let's just put it that way. But Mike sang it on, and in it, he said, the Bible has the answers. I believe that the Bible has the answers. Maybe you're here this morning questioning, just like Gideon did. Maybe you're sitting back there this morning, you're saying, maybe you feel shortchanged. Maybe you've heard your parents or your grandparents say, you know what? Talk about the power of God moving in the churches. I remember hearing that. I remember hearing people that I went to church with, and they weren't trying to exaggerate or trying to talk, but they were talking about how the power of God worked in the churches. There were great revivals that didn't go on for 2 or 3 days, but revivals that went on for weeks. I've heard them talk about those. People giving their hearts to God. I remember them talking about that, running and shouting and praising God in the church because of the power of the Holy Spirit moving. I have seen that. I know that the power of God still works today. Maybe you're saying to yourself this morning, where are all those miracles today? Maybe you're saying that to yourself. Maybe it was all made up. Maybe it was exaggerated. I'm here to tell you, no, I do not believe that any of it was. And you're saying here, where are all the miracles for my generation? Where are they for my generation? That's a great question. I think it's a great question that needs to be answered. If we can, I believe that just like Gideon said there in verse 13, he said, where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of? Where be they? I'll tell you here this morning what I firmly believe. Turn to Ephesians 3:20 and mark this in your Bible because I believe this morning. Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Ephesians 3:20. I believe that. Do you believe God's word this morning? I believe God is able to do abundantly above what we think sometimes, Patty, what we believe in our minds sometimes. I believe He's able to do those things. I believe He is. I believe I'll stand on that this morning because I believe that we serve a God that goes beyond all nature, all natural things out here in the world. We serve that kind of a God. I'm here to tell you this morning from the silent generation. You know who the silent generation is? Anybody that was born in 1945 and before, that's the silent generation. Clear up to the centennials. You know who the centennials are? Those that were born in 1996 and past. I believe every one of them, I believe here this morning, I can tell you this. I believe everybody in between, to all the Drift Run family that is sitting here this morning, I want you to understand this. God is still able to do miracles. Don't sit back here and think for 1 minute that He is not able because we don't see Him. Because we don't see Him. The God that I serve is able to do abundantly above all that we ask or think this morning. Pastor, what's a miracle, you might ask me? A miracle is something only God can do. Amen? That is a miracle this morning. You can't do it. You cannot do it. You can't make it happen. You can't manipulate it. It's something that only the God that I serve this morning, Brian, can do. That is what a miracle is this morning. Maybe you're here in Gideon and you're saying, where are those miracles, Pastor? Where are they at? If you be for me, God, if you be for me, you're still God. Why is all this stuff happening to me then? Where are the miracles? Listen, if you're here this morning and God has saved your soul, I want to tell you something this morning. You've been subjected to the greatest miracle that has ever been happened. I want you to understand that this morning. You believe that this morning? I read down through that Bible. There's only one other miracle that I can think of, maybe greater, and that's when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. If you read in that Bible anywhere else, the greatest miracle that has ever happened, that you could ever experience, I don't care, bar none, is if Jesus Christ saved your soul. Do you understand? There are people out there that will never know that feeling. I'm here to tell you, that is sad to say. You think of the countless millions that are in this world, there are going to be some that will never know what it's like to experience the salvation of God in their life. It's not because God didn't offer it to them. It's not because it's not there for all man. That is not the reason why. It is because they will reject it and reject it until they leave this world. And they will never know never know the miracle. The greatest miracle ever is whenever Jesus Christ saved your soul. Whenever he saved me, I'm telling you, it was the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. To know the love of God, the love that passes all understanding, to come into my heart and know that. You see, God has been in the business of making miracles happen from the beginning of time. He has, from healing. He has been from making something out of nothing. He has done that. Casting out demons. From parting the Red Sea. And from parting the rivers. From going beyond the natural, because he is that kind of a God. Listen to me. God works beyond the natural. But the greatest miracle that the Bible has ever tells us about, is other than when Jesus was raised, is the supernatural transformation of your heart. Look at Acts 16, 23 through 25. This is something I want you to understand. Acts 16, 23 through 25. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely. Who, having received such charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. To me, the greatest miracle there wasn't when God shook the jail and they flew open, but praise God, you know what? It is whenever they were in the circumstances that they were in, that they could praise God and sing praises to Him. I'm here to tell you, Ron, I don't know that if someone beat me, put me in chains, and throw me into prison, I don't know if I'd be able to sing praises and praise God. I want to ask you this morning, would you be able to do that? That, to me, is a miracle beyond miracles there. Because you know what? We can say within ourselves, God, no matter what goes on in my life, I'm still going to praise You. You can take this body down. You can destroy what I have, take what I have. But guess what, Bev? I'm still going to praise You. What a miracle. What a miracle would that be? In the natural, after being beaten and chained up, we couldn't do that. We could not do that of ourselves this morning. You couldn't do it of yourself. No man or woman is going to be happy and sing praises in that kind of circumstances. I'm sorry, you couldn't do it unless a supernatural miracle has taken place in your life. If you're here this morning and you have not experienced a supernatural miracle of Jesus Christ saving your soul, here in a little bit we're going to offer you the chance. We're going to offer that to you. Too many times, Christians ask God for greater signs. They ask and wonders, realizing the greatest miracle has already happened in their lives. And they fail to really grasp that. God took a heart of stones and He transferred to a heart of flesh. Ezekiel 36, 26 and 27 tells it best. It says, "A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk by my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." I want to tell you something here this morning. The day that the Lord saved me, He took that heart that was in there. I could care less what happened to you. I want you to know that this morning. That's what I was like. I could have cared less what happened to anybody. You know what? If they did something to me, the better off I could get them, the better it was. But the moment that I got saved, He took that out of there. Amen. He put a caring heart. He put a loving heart. And He said that His Spirit come into my life. And I could walk by His staff. You know what? There are times when I'm walking, I know by the Spirit dealing with me what's right and what's wrong. I know that. And you know what? I've been out and I've verified it in the Bible later. Because you know what? I believe His Spirit puts those statutes in us. I believe it puts that in us. We can go read the Word all. We can read that Word, but it's in there. It is in there. It's important to remember, whenever we're asking God for a prayer to be answered our way, there's the problem. Can I put that right to you today? We try to ask God to answer it our way sometimes. Christ's finished work on the cross and the miracle of salvation is preeminent over any of that. Amen? It is preeminent over any of that. Preacher, are you saying I shouldn't pray for a miracle? No way would I tell anybody in here not to pray. The Bible tells us to pray. And it tells us to bring our petitions to God. Don't take that for 1 minute. Because I believe our God is still in the miracle working business this morning. Isaiah 59:1. It tells us, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy, that it cannot hear. He can hear this morning. But I've seen too many that don't have the faith of the three Hebrew children. And you know what that faith is? It's one of my favorite verses of Scripture. I say it a lot, but it's one of the favorite. And I hope and pray that you mark it in yellow. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But this is it. But if not, can you say that this morning? You're praying this morning for a miracle. But if not, if it doesn't go your way, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Listen to me. Listen, if it doesn't happen the way that you want it, listen, are you still able this morning to say, because I've seen lots of people, I've seen lots of them, they get discouraged, they quit, they just go out because God never answered it the way that they wanted to answer it, and they just give up. I'm here this morning to tell you, are you have the faith of the three Hebrew children to say, no matter what, I'm still going to serve you, Lord. Man, that's faith. That's faith. Amen? That is faith. Maybe you know someone, have known someone that who's prayed for a healing for a loved one, only to see that loved one pass away. Or maybe you've known someone like I have many years ago, me and Tink went through, whose spouse had left him, and they wept and they prayed to have that divorce not happen, but it happened. And we look at a situation like that, and we start questioning God. And we say, God, if you are for that person, why did you let it happen? Why would you let something like that happen? And the next thing that pops into their mind is that God no longer is working miracles in people's lives. I'm here to disagree with you wholeheartedly. God didn't answer the prayer the way I wanted it. He didn't bring the healing the way that I wanted it. He didn't reconcile my marriage the way that I wanted it. Where are the miracles? And before you know it, they're out of church and they're bitter towards God because they blame it on God. Amen? And maybe you're here this morning struggling with the same issues. Maybe you are. And you know someone like that. And doubts about God have crept into your mind time after time. Listen, God has a plan. And there are times I must confess as your pastor this morning, I don't know what that plan is. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what it is. There are times I have questioned God in my own life. Do you understand? I'm being as honest as I can be with you this morning. Why did it happen this way? Why is it going this way? Why is it this happening? And you know what? I don't have the answers. There are times I don't understand. I don't understand. I'm being blunt honest with you this morning. If everybody, raise your hand if you've understood everything. I want to know, raise your hand if you've understood everything. But I've learned to lean on God's word whenever I don't understand and doubt creeps in. Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. There has been many a time I've had to say to myself, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, as I've said this, you know what? God, I'm going to serve because you're able to deliver. I know you are, but if not, be it known, I have no doubt that I want to continue to serve the one that will take my soul to heaven one of these days. But if he don't answer that prayer the way I think he should, give me the miracle that I think he should get. Does that make God any less God this morning? Can I ask you that this morning? Does that make him any less of a God? Does that mean miracles still don't happen today? No way, they still happen. Yes. God still does put marriages back together. God still heals people today. He does all this. I know that he does. I've seen it work, but I'm here to tell you it may not be the case for what you're praying for this morning. Listen, God does not want us hiding in a hole like Gideon did, though. You understand? Gideon was hiding in a hole. They said, because the Midianites were coming in there, they were like grasshoppers spread everywhere. I don't know, what is your grasshoppers this morning? Maybe you're looking out over the fields below and you're thinking that the enemy is spread out like grasshoppers all around you. And you're thinking to yourself, God, you know what? You know the story of Gideon. I know all of you in here do. It started out, God said, well, you know, he said, you man of valor. And here he was hiding in a hole. But you know what? God knew what he was going to be. I'm here this morning to tell you, you know what? What Gideon didn't know was that God was going to work a miracle in his life. And what you don't know this morning is that God may be about ready to work a miracle in your life. Amen? Gideon was hiding. You know what? The story of Gideon goes something like this. God gave him 32,000 people that were willing to go fight against this great number. God said, that's too many. Take it down to 10,000. God said, that's still too many. I don't know about you, but I'll be saying, God, there's 200,000 people out there. I couldn't even deal with 32, and you're taking it down to 10. God said, that's still too many. He said, let's take it down to 300. Let's take her down to 300. And God took 300 people in Gideon, and they destroyed the Midianites. Amen? 300. I'm here to tell you today, just don't question God, because God is able to work with very little. And you may be thinking here this morning, you know what? Don't think for a minute just because you question about miracles that you are any less of a Christian, because guess what? I question them too once in a while. And I thank God for somebody like Gideon who's able to say, God, where be your miracles? Gideon was hiding and afraid. Gideon was even asking God, where did you go? Are you like that this morning? God, where did you go? God, where did you go? Listen to me. I'm not here to tell you something this morning. God doesn't go anywhere. The person that moves, go look in the mirror. That's the person that moves. It isn't God. God is there for us, clear to the end. He's wanting to use you in a miraculous way. He really is. And it may not be the way that you have planned out in your life. I've said this before. I never wanted to be a preacher. I'm going to tell you right now. My last thing that I wanted to do was stand up here on Sunday mornings and Sunday night and Wednesday night and be a preacher. Shows you where God's got a sense of humor, doesn't it? Listen to me. God has things for our lives that sometimes we do not understand. And miracles are still happening every day. They are. But sometimes we can't see the forest for the trees. You know that? We can't see the forest for the trees. Look at the earth around us. Look out here around us sometimes. You know, God made the mountains, the valleys, the trees, the rivers, the flowers, all these things. And think about this planet. And think about it. Every one of those things pay a part in this planet that we live on. The mountains provide protection, do they not? You know, when the storms, if you didn't have the mountains, the storms could just sweep right across this country. Could sweep right across it. But you know what? Thank God, you know what, for those mountains sometimes. The trees and the flowers, what do? They produce the oxygen. And you know what? The rivers and the stream provide water. And it's just a few of the miracles that we need to look at out here every day. Would you say there's no miracles? Get up, look outside, and see what God has done every day. Those are absolute miracles that sometimes we are not looking at because we cannot see the forest for the trees. How about the technology that we have today? A lot of people complain about that technology, from cell phones to medical breakthroughs. But I'm here to tell you today, God has allowed men and women to give us great things that have helped us in our life. Miracles that God has given wisdom to mankind with such breakthroughs that we can't even comprehend sometimes. You know what? Penicillin didn't come into effect, what, till the 1940s? God gives somebody the knowledge to help. You know what? Guess how many countless lives that has saved? Think about our cell phones. Think how many lives those cell phones have saved. Just think of the technology. Those are miracles, I believe, that God has given mankind. And we this morning, we cannot see the forest for the trees. And we think, you know what, God, I want things done my way. I want it my way. And we say, well, God, where are the miracles? I tell you this morning, look around, they're everywhere. Yet there's those like Gideon who ask, where are all the miracles? Where are all the miracles? I'm here to tell you this morning, they're right in front of you. Right in front of you. Right in front of you. You got up this morning. God has allowed us to come out here to church. Yeah, you had to come out here and listen to me. That's fine. But He allowed you to come to church this morning. Praise Him for that. There are people that can't. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. God has given us and granted us the opportunity to be here. I'm here this morning to tell you, where are the miracles? They're right in front of us. They're right in front of us, around us each and every day. So the next time you get tempted to ask God, God, where's the miracles for my generation? Man alive, look what God has brought for us. Look what He has done. Praise God this morning. If you're here this morning and you have a need, we're going to get a song. I want to have a song this morning. And I want you to come up here this morning. This altar is open. It is. It's for us to. You know what? If you're here this morning and you're asking this same question, God, where's the miracle? Listen, the miracles are here.